privileged and blessed to have one of our founding members with us this morning. I remember the almost 16 years ago when we made the decision to pioneer this church.
Yes.
And we began having prayer meetings in my home, and Sister Allison Ross was one of those members. And she will always be a member of New Hope Christian Assembly. She now lives in the States. Of course, you know her to be Cheryl's mom. And her husband, Lucille Ross, is here as well, too. They just celebrated their 11th wedding anniversary. Well, we show them some love as well. Excellent. Now, Sister, I was told, Sister Offerden, are you here? Okay, wave me hand. Now, a couple weeks ago, there was a lady sitting beside your husband, and I made the mistake of saying that you were here and about to introduce her as you. But I almost blew. But anyway, Hopeton's wife is here, Sister Offerden, and so the children are here. So welcome them into our church family. We're glad you're here. God bless you. Service and continue to be part of the family. All right, amen. So how you doing?
Good.
Good? Awesome. All right, if you have your Bibles with you, let us go into the Word of God this morning. And if you would go to the book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, we're going to read all 22 verses for sake of context. And I'm wondering today, Joseph and maybe Ed, two of my board members. Hey, what, Ed, would you read 11 verses and Joseph 11 verses and we'll cover the 22? Would that be good? Awesome. Thanks, brothers. You can use the mic if you want.
There is a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, time to plant, time to uproot. Time to kill, time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain. A time to search, a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on man. He has made everything beautiful in his time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end.
I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live. That everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that men will revere him. Whatever it has already been and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account. And I saw something else under the sun. In the place of judgment, wickedness was there. In the place of justice, the wickedness was there. I thought in my heart, God will bring to judgment both the righteous and the wicked. For there will be a time for every activity, a time for every deed. I also thought, as for men, God tests them so that they may see that they are like the animals. Man's fate is like that of the animals. The same fate awaits them both. As one dies, so dies the other. All have the same breath. Man has no advantage over the animal. Everything is meaningless. All go to the same place. All come from dust, and to dust all return. Who knows if the spirit of man rises up upward, and if the spirit of the animal goes down into the earth. So I saw that there is nothing better for a man than to enjoy his work, because that is his lot. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him?
Amen. Thank you, Brother Adam Joseph. Let's affirm the word of God this morning. This is my Bible. It is the unadulterated, inspired, authoritative word of God for my life. I will read it slowly.
I will read it
prayerfully.
I will read it carefully.
I will abide by its precepts.
I will live by its
principles.
And I will stand on its
promises.
I declare it
in
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Well, with the help of the Holy
Spirit, I'm going to
ask you to
give me attention
for just a few moments.
And I do want
to preach this morning
from the subject,
Seasons
Change.
Seasons
Change.
I don't know about you,
but
sleeping at night
over the last 2 or 3
nights has been
much better than
it's been
when it was
30 plus degrees
during the day.
And
I can feel
the chill
of
some white
stuff to come
in the
night.
But
whether we want
to or not,
seasons
will change.
Seasons
will change.
These
green leaves
will
turn yellow,
and one day they will
fall off,
and those
trees will be covered
with snow.
And then
a few more months,
then the
snow will melt,
and we
will have new buds on
the trees, and the
green will come again,
and we will go through
the cycle of life.
Winter,
spring,
summer,
fall,
and it
continues.
Every
day, we are
offered a
variety of
things
to help
us find the
secret to
successful living.
You just
got to turn on the
television.
They've got the
newest lotion to
make you look
younger.
They've got the
newest
technology to
make you get safe
faster. Now
your car, all you got to
do is put it in reverse
and it can
back itself up
by itself. I mean,
there's so many
things that are just
taking place
in our world.
All of
them giving us
the,
claiming to
give us the secrets
of
successful
living.
The
message
of our text
this morning
is
about the great
truth
that God
wants us to
learn
how to
handle
life.
And look at your
neighbor and say, neighbor,
life
happens.
Whether
you want to or not,
life
happens.
But
God wants us
to handle
life
in
such a way
that
we can rejoice
in
any
and every
circumstances.
And this is
what the scripture that
we've just read
is going to
teach us
this morning,
because
life
happens.
Amen?
Throughout
this chapter, the
idea is promoted
that
there is an
appropriate
time
for all
of life
experiences.
And
if you ever,
if you've
lived long enough,
you know that
there's an appropriate
time
for all of
life's experiences.
You know, and I
was reading the text,
and it says there's a
time to laugh
and a time not
to laugh.
Have you ever
laughed at the
wrong time?
I
was, many years
ago, there was
a young minister
that was working
with me, and
we were
parting ways,
and he was
on the phone
telling me
all of the
horrible things that
I had done to him.
And
obviously it wasn't true,
but it
sounded so ridiculous
that I started
laughing
at
what I was hearing.
And he became
more angry
because he felt
I was laughing at
him.
Now,
there's a time to
laugh, but that
was the inappropriate
time to laugh.
So,
I also
heard of a story
of a funeral.
Two pastors
were sitting beside each
other, and
the minister officiating
the funeral
said to the
congregation,
"Would you rise
to your feet?"
And one pastor
said to the other,
"But what else are you
supposed to rise on?"
And
the one who hearing
it started laughing
aloud.
And obviously,
it was funny,
but it was the wrong time
to laugh.
Everything has
its time.
Everything has
its place.
Amen?
And
so there is an appropriate
time for everything,
the unpleasant
as well as
the pleasant
experiences.
And this is the
argument that
we find in
Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It is not merely a description of what happens in life. It is a description of what God sends our way. And so as we make our way through this passage of Scripture, I want you to understand that the great truth of the text this morning is that God wants us to learn how to handle life in such a way that we can rejoice in whatever circumstances life will find us in. There are three things I want to share with you this morning. I want to tell you that, number one, God has a time period for everything. This is what Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1 to 8 tells us. There are eight verses, and in these eight verses, there are three major divisions within the first eight verses of our text. And amazingly so, they correspond with the body, the soul, and the spirit. When you look at them in these eight verses, God has a time period for everything. But when you look at these eight verses, you will find that when they're divided up accordingly, each of them accordingly addresses the body, the soul, and the spirit. Take a look with me, for example. For everything, there is a season and a time for everything that matters under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what was planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. Notice how truly those apply to the physical body. None of us had the option in our conception. None of us have the option in our death. They said in life, two things are guaranteed. Death and taxes. Right? None of us are asked to die. That is something that God is going to accomplish when our days have come to an end. So in the same way, we should view the list of opposite as a list of what God thinks we ought to have and what we ought to experience as we journey through life. Are you still with me?
Yes.
It begins by pairing birth and death as the boundaries of life under sun. These are the things that we have no control over, and this is sometimes what life is like. Sometimes, if you live long enough, there's some things you have no control over.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
And you just have to roll with the punches. The next pair deals with the supply of food. There's a time to plant and a time to harvest. Everything must come in its appropriate time. If you get out of sync with harvest season, you will find yourself in trouble. If you try to plant in the middle of February, there's guaranteed you're not going to have a harvest because it's the wrong time to plant. And so everything has its season. The challenge that we have is that we think sometimes we're God and we still try to plant in the middle of January or February. And get mad when we can't reap a harvest because we didn't plant in the appropriate time. My encouragement to you today is that God has a schedule, and it's our business to be mindful and be aware of God's schedule and go with God's program.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And there's an appropriate time for everything. The text goes on to say there's a time to kill and there's a time to heal. This may sound strange, and that it's not talking about going out and killing someone, but doctors tell us that every 7 years, the cells in our bodies die, but our bodies themselves do not die. What you are now today, you were not 7 years ago. And so what tends to happen is when the cell dies, before it dies, it passes on the information to the new cell, and that cell dies, our body stays the same, and we can go from continue living knowing that information from past cell is carried through even when the one cell dies. And so there's a time to kill, and so our bodies go through this period of dying and reproducing a life again. There's a time to break down, there's a time to build up. I was watching my son Sion, who has made the university Golden Bears team, and there was a time when he and I would wrestle, and I would hit him with half my strength. He would go full strength, and it wouldn't be a problem. But he started pumping iron, and as a youth, he can build muscle mass faster than I can build muscle mass. And so these days, I don't mess with a 245-50-pound, 6'2" defensive lineman. I don't even wrestle with the guy. I give him a hug, and that's about it. I try to go on the bench press and do that. Well, if you live long enough, You know, you can go to the gym and work out for and build great muscle mass. You skip 2 weeks and you lose it right away, especially when you're my age. And so there's a time to build up. And so when you're young, it is time to build up. For some of us older guys, you live long enough, your stomach catches up with your... Well, never mind. There's a time to break down, there's a time to build up. And when this period comes, you can't fight it. It's okay, Alrick, it's all good. you just got it. The searcher in our text goes on, not only transitions now from the body, but he goes into the soul, which deals with the psyche, which covers your mind, your emotions, and your will, and has to do with your feelings and your thinking and the social arenas of life and your interrelationships and these things. And so verses 4 tells us there is a time to weep and there's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. And all these things follow closely and they're all appropriate. New Hope, none of us are going to escape the hurts and the sorrows of life. It is what God says we will experience, whether we want to or not. Are you still with me? God has chosen these for us. And the proof is that when God's Son came to this earth, he was not handed a beautiful life with everything pleasant and delightful, free from struggle and pain. He was made a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, as Isaiah 53 verses B tells us. So in this fallen world, it is right that there will be times of hurt and sorrow and weeping. But there will also be times of laughter and joy and happiness and carefreeness. Remember when Jesus came on began his ministry, one of the first miracles, he went to a wedding in Cana of Galilee and provided one of the best parts for the celebration. The Bible says that the wine was so good they have never tasted anything like it. So there's a time for everything. There's a time to cast away, and there's a time to cast away stones, and there's a time to gather stones, and there's a time to break down, and a time to build up. There's a time when we need to embrace others and to show support, but there's also a time when we ought to refuse to embrace certain things if those things would be contradictory to what our Christian lifestyle and values would dictate to us. So there has to be a balance in what we embrace. And then the last six opposites relate to the spirit, the inner dimensions and the deeper commitments. There's a time to seek. There's a time to seek and there is a time to lose. Scripture tells us there comes a time in life when we should cut back on certain things, maybe some friendships, career. For instance, maybe lose a few friends that are no longer going in the path that we're going in. Perhaps some issues, some attitudes, some activities. But it's proper and appropriate that these times should come. There are values and standards which we must uphold and adhere to as we make our way through life. It goes on to say there's a time to speak and there's a time to keep silence. There's some times when you hear some nice juicy piece of gossip and you're trying really hard to keep it in, but you should keep it in because there's a time to speak and there's a time not to speak. And there are other times when you hear something or you have information where you know that that information can perhaps bring healing and deliverance to a person, then you ought to have the courage, even in those moments, to speak to them so that they can have victory in their lives. There's a time to love and there's a time to hate. Well, when is ever a good time to hate? The story is told of young Abraham Lincoln for the first time when he saw human beings being sold on slave blocks in New Orleans, and he felt the hatred rising within his heart, and he resolved within himself that if he ever got a chance to smash slavery, he would. Lincoln's hatred for slavery was perfectly appropriate. There are certain things you have to hate, but at other times there's other things that you love. And you have to embrace those things that are the love. Good friendships, meaningful relationships, family, you gotta love those. There are time for war and a time for peace. I don't like war because I believe that in war, nobody ever wins. As long as people are getting hurt and lives are being lost, no one ever wins. But there are some times where War is necessary. And there has to be time for those as well. And there are going to be some times when you have to go to war. And not necessarily fighting an enemy, but you might have to fight for something that you think is of value to you. You may have to war within your own family structures. But there's a time for war. But it's also a time for peace. I have a younger sister, and I hope that she's not watching my live stream this morning. But we've been estranged for several years, and I just got word, she lives in another country, I just got word that she resurfaced, and I asked one of my relatives for her phone number, and I'm going to take the initiative to call her up and say, I'm your big brother, let's put our differences aside, it is time for us to be reconciled. I will apologize for what even I didn't do, but because it's family, I believe it's important that as Christians, that's the attitude we take and we seek reconciliation. There's a time for peace. And we've got to try and live in peace. I want to point out to all that this is God's wonderful plan for our lives. So not only does God has a time period for everything, but God also has a purpose for everything. How many of you know that God does nothing out of purpose? There is a purpose for everything.
Yes.
Everything. Now, if you're like me, and I know I'm probably the only one in the church that has this issue, but I like to fly when I'm driving. and you ever get behind a person that's going like 20 kilometers? It seems like they're going 20 kilometers below the speed limit. And there's a purpose for everything, because there's some times when I didn't adhere to the traffic rules and I just zipped out, and the minute I zipped out, some guy in some police uniform zipped in front of me and pulled me over. But sometimes everything is on purpose. So I'm learning now to drive behind a guy that's going to 10 kilometers, because maybe two blocks up ahead, he might be saving me from getting a $150 ticket.
Yes.
But God has a purpose for everything.
Yes.
And it behooves us to look into what we're going through and try to find God's purpose in whatever it is that we're experiencing as we make our way through life. What gain has the worker, verses 9, from his toil? What is left over to provide a permanent sense of satisfaction and monetary pleasure is extracted from the pleasurable experiences. And so what the text is saying is that you can find pleasure in some things, but you ought to understand that true pleasure doesn't come from material possession. True pleasure comes from inner peace with Almighty God. Because you can have an abundance of wealth and be very unhappy. And you can also be poor and be very satisfied. Now, it doesn't say that you have, in order to be satisfied, you have to be poor. No, 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 no. I know some very satisfied, wealthy folks. And I know some very miserable, bitter, poor people, too. So it goes both ways. But the text says that there has to be, in your work, you have to find some inner satisfaction in what you do. I've seen in God, verse 10 in the text, I've seen businesses that God has given to the sons of men to be busy with. And I believe that what Solomon, who I believe is the author of the text, some people believe that's not Solomon, but life is going to hide some secrets from us. The purpose of things is found by carefully examining what has been taking place along the way. And sometimes he doesn't give us the answer right away. But if you live long enough and look back, then you're able to see what God was trying to accomplish in your life. So keep living, and you'll get the answer. In this text, there's some things that we notice that God made everything beautiful in its timing. Verses 11 of our text, everything is appropriate, and everything is helpful to us. What appears to be negative as well as positive, is helpful to us. There are no curses and obstacles. These are God's blessings, even when you think they may not be. Even your enemy can be a blessing of God, because that enemy can force you to reveal what's really inside of you when you're tested and tempted. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. And you know when you heal from wrong that enemies have done to you? Is when you can walk down Jasper Avenue and see them coming in front of you, and you don't have to cross the street and jaywalk in front of traffic. If you have to cross the street, you need to go to your knees because you haven't healed. But when you can walk by and even smile, you know that it's well with your soul. Amen? God's made everything beautiful. Second thing we notice, the search tells us in this, is that in verses 11b, also he has put eternity into the minds of men. And I'm encouraging you today that whatever you do, think of it in light of eternity. People say to me, many of you said this to me, oh, Pastor, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. Well, I'm not doing it for man, even though I'm serving man, but I'm doing it for God. And I see the bigger picture because this is eternal. And I believe that anything we can do that can change the eternity of a person or help change the eternal state, I believe is beneficial to them. So when I serve in light of eternity, because one day I know God will honor the service and he will hold me accountable for what I did or didn't do. The third thing we notice in our text here is that in this point number two, the searcher learns that yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning. God keeps certain things a mystery to us. He keeps certain things a mystery to us. We're growing in our knowledge with him, but we will not discover everything all at once. And we have to go through a period of living. The Apostle Paul says, we see through a glass darkly, but a day will come when we will see clearly. Third point I want to share with you today. Not only has God got a purpose for everything, but God has a total plan. How many can agree that God has a total plan?
Yes.
You may not know his plan. I may not know his plans. But Ecclesiastes tells us, verses 14 to 22, that God has a perfect plan, a total plan for our lives. And there are three things here that we need to, well, a few things we need to look at. I know that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. God has made it so. Verses 14. So God has sovereignly, independently set up a plan in a way that we cannot interfere with. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you cannot interfere with God's plan. And don't even try. You cannot interfere with God's plans. Don't even try. It won't work. In fact, it'll cost you if you try to interfere with God's plan. And it says that he has done so in order that we should fear him. And the fear that we're talking about is the fear of wisdom. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1:10, Psalm 110, 111:10, and Proverbs 9:10. So until man recognizes and trusts the superior wisdom of God, he has not begun to really fear God. And so the secret of life is understanding the presence of God, walking with God, talking with God, hearing his voice, sifting things through, and knowing the direction and the plan that God has for our lives. This is what is taught in Scripture. Look at verse 15. That which has already been, that which will be, has already been, and God seeks that he would drive it away. A better translation of this phrase is God brings back what has already passed away. When you look at verse 15, and I begin to let my mind wander about this because, when I was going to school in Guyana, if you didn't pass standard one, they wouldn't promote you to standard two. They would hold you back. And if you had to spend 3 years in standard one, you spend the 3 years in standard one. In North America, it's a little different. They'll move people onward because they don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. But I think that's a great injustice to the student because it doesn't force the student to learn. What I hear in verse 15 is that God brings back things that have passed before. And the image that I got in my mind is that if you don't pass the test the first time, you keep getting a second chance to pass it, a second time, and a third time, and a fourth time, until you pass the test. And until you pass the test, you don't get to graduate. So if you find that you're stuck in the same place, it could be that you're failing the test. And God will keep bringing it back in different forms and under different subjects and different headings until you can pass the test. And God brings it back over and over again. I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous, verses 16 on onward, 17. I will judge the righteous and the wicked, for he has appointed a time for every matter, for every word. And what we see in these remaining few passages of scriptures is that God's plan will come to pass regardless of man's effort to try to distort God's plan. There's a place that should be of justice, and wickedness was there. But God is going to fix that. He's got a perfect plan. And so I want to say to you that no matter what you're going through in life today and in the days to come, that you must submit and subject and adhere to God's plan and to follow His Spirit. Let His Spirit lead you and guide you and empower you. And I believe that when you begin to really walk and talk with God, He's not going to let you go into pathways that are not guided and directed by His Holy Spirit and by His presence. He will guide us. He will protect us. And He will take you through seasons. There is no guarantee that you will remain the way you are today 10 years from now. And so be open, be prepared to the seasons and the changes of the seasons as they come upon you, that you may walk faithfully and humbly before your God, and so that you may be able to enjoy the direction, the path that He's leading you, so He can bring about His good and perfect will in your life and in my life. God has a perfect plan for us, New Hope. It's our responsibility to make sure that we know what that plan is and follow God according to His plan. Amen. Seasons change. Amen. Seasons change. Seasons change. They are part of life. It is natural, and we must embrace them. Yes. At this time, I want to call Brother Joseph to come and share some information with you. Joseph is one of our council members.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, sir. This is the only time you get to tell me to sit down.
Take an advantage of it. Nolan, do you mind taking off the internet, please?